You don't have to go far. If you just get on 65 and drive north, Nashville's full of singers and players. And the truth is Middle Tennessee's full of talent. And especially Nashville draws them because they want to be songwriters and singers and players. And that's great. We all got to pursue our dreams. There's a world of difference in being a talented player and singer and being a worship leader. Don't you just thank God for these worship leaders? Thank y'all. Man, just into the presence of Holy God. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. And they use it. They steward their gifts so well. Taking us into the holy presence of God. That's a gift. That God would invite us into His presence. Thank you, Wes and Jimmy and the whole team. Thank you. I haven't gotten to meet everybody. I met most of you. My name is Tom, as I said earlier. Pastor Eric and Randy and then Buddy and Roger Mullins and another pastor in Kosovo. And they've been in Albania. And so I'm privileged to speak here today as Pastor Eric is on mission. And because he's on mission, we're on mission. Because he's us and we're him and we're together doing ministry here and around the world. Our mission as a church, Thompson Station Church, Thompson Station Church, Columbia, our mission together is connecting people with Jesus to experience His greater life. Connecting people with Jesus to experience His greater life. Why? What's that? Why? What are those three words? Y'all can do better. And that's why we got to connect people to Jesus. I can't fix anybody. You can't fix anybody. You can't heal anybody. You can't really help anybody permanently. You can't change anybody eternally. But you can sure direct them to the one who can. You and I, we're just guideposts. This way to Jesus. Come on, this way to Jesus. So our mission is connecting people with Jesus to experience His greater life. Please repeat after me. Our mission is connecting people to Jesus to experience His greater life. Now, the next time somebody says, what do y'all do over there at Riverside? Why do you exist at Columbia, TSC Columbia? Why are you there? And your answer, your short answer is because we're here to connect people to Jesus. That's what we're about. We're connecting people to Jesus. Now, how do we do that? How do we carry that out? That's our mission. I want to spend just a few minutes of this introduction about our vision. Some of you have seen this, heard this in different classes or different settings. Some of you may be new, but I want to just cover a power of seven vision that God's laid upon our hearts. And it's something that we ought to be about for probably the next 7 to 10 years. So the power of seven vision. And I just want to describe that in four ways. And it affects every one of us at every level, all right? Level number one is anything and everything we do as a church, that's you. Building's not a church. Even though we convert this gym, this school gym, into a holy sanctuary every week, we fill it with the praises of God and He enters the presence here. We're the church. So everything starts with you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. Everything starts with us. So we can talk about Pastor Eric and Pastor and Brother Randy over in Kosovo, and they're doing ministry and missions. That's awesome. But the truth is we're the church, and we're to do missions and ministry right where we are. So I'm challenging everybody to get seven relationships. Seven is a number. Why seven? I mean, seven is a holy number. It's a godly number. It's a number of completeness. You study it in the Bible, it has some significant meanings. And so I'm asking all of us every year to work on. Now, you may not have seven, but you ought to have one or two. You may have 11, but here's the difference. Not just seven relationships with people because you're friends. You've already got that. Are you developing relationships with people with the intentionality, with the purpose of having spiritual conversations, moving the conversation toward Christ. The truth is some of us have had neighbors for 11 years and they don't even know we're Christ followers. I don't think that's proper. I think the truth is we need to move intentionally on purpose toward having spiritual conversations with people we know. And so maybe God would lay on your heart, if he hasn't already, some people that you can just begin to pray about daily in your quiet time. God, give me opportunity to share something spiritual, something about Jesus, something about the Lord. Or maybe invite them to church, or invite them to Vacation Bible School coming up right here in this setting, the 30th and 1st and 2nd of July. Move toward that. The second seven is a derivative seven. It's 70 neighborhoods. It's where you live. It's what you do for a living. It's in your neighborhood, at your workplace. We have a ministry in Murray and Williamson County in neighborhoods. And here's what I'd like to have. I'd like us to have. I believe our vision is to have spiritual impact on our neighborhood. So maybe you and a couple of ladies would prayer walk the neighborhood three times. Instead of just walking and talking about anything in random, you would intentionally pray over the homes as you walk by them with a friend. Pray out loud as you're walking. Maybe, guys, every other Thursday night, you'd get together in a basement or in a man cave, and you'd have some fun and grill out and whatever, watch Thursday night football sometimes, but you would also be an accountability group. You would encourage each other. Have a study of God's Word. Say, how can we build each other's up? Ladies, you might have a home Bible study in your neighborhood, because the neighborhood is where we live and work, and we ought to have a spiritual impact in our neighborhoods. Now, the next slide, seven cities. We want to plant churches or start campuses in seven cities, seven locations in the next 7 to 10 years. You guys and gals, you're the result of God placing on our hearts a ministry in Columbia. You're answered prayer, and by golly, you're doing it very well. Thank you very much. You're carrying out the Great Commission. God laid it on our hearts several years ago. When this came to my heart, is everybody and their brother wanted to plant a church or a campus or whatever in Spring Hill. It was the happen place to be, but not as many people wanted to come to Columbia. And I said, Lord, while they're all coming here, where do you want us to go? And the Lord said, go south, young man, go south. So here I am. I'm with you, and you're an answered prayer. You're doing the ministry that God's called us to do. We're also doing ministry in north of Cincinnati in Springboro with Reagan and Heather Wagner. They're church planters. That's you, by the way. You support them. You're giving them to them. You're praying with them. And you're supporting Steve and Nikki Witt, John and Emily Labonte. All right, some of you know them in Las Vegas. And we're going to hear more about that in a minute. That's you working in different cities. So you're working in Columbia, and we're working in Spring Hill and Thompson Station. We're working in Vegas. We're working north of Cincinnati. That's carrying out. Where would God have us plant a church next? Where would God have us start a campus next as we keep praying in that end? And then seven countries around the world. So seven countries. That's why today Pastor Eric is in Kosovo with Randy. That's why today on July the 8th, Marlene and the Wallers, Crystal and George, will leave and go to Guatemala, because we're taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. Now, when you look at this four quadrant, the relationships, the neighborhoods, the cities, and the countries, that's on purpose. We do all of this at the same time. It's not either or, it's both and. It's all of the above that we're a part of in doing ministry and missions around the world. Now, today's message that we're going to get into right now, with that as kind of a backdrop, with our mission and our vision, today's a missions message, and the title is, Where Will You Go, What Will You Do? Where will you go, what will you do? Let me say it, and I'll probably say it more than one time. Missions, guys and gals, is not what we do. Missions is who we are. You see the difference? Pastor Eric is doing missions in Kosovo and Albania. That's great. But you know what? Today, when you go to lunch, and before you have your meal, and your server's right there, Pastor Eric and I, we've done it We do it all the time. Matter of fact, we probably race to see who's going to do it first. When that server comes up, you say, in just a minute, we're going to pray over this meal. Is there anything we could pray with you about? That's opening the door for missions. That's missions. So whether you're over the, across the world in Guatemala or Kosovo or China or India or wherever, or you're having lunch at Taco Bell today, high cotton Taco Bell, you're doing missions because you're a missionary. We're all missionaries. You understand that? If you know Christ and Christ is in your heart, you're a missionary. It's not. Sometimes we talk about them. Well, them are us. All right, this means I understand. This means I didn't get my coffee this morning. We're all missionaries. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a missionary. All right, turn the other direction and say, you're a missionary. We're all missionaries. Now, every one of us has to be involved in this ministry on every level, individually, in neighborhoods, in cities, and in countries around the world in different ways. And this is a faith journey we're on together. Where will I go? What will I do? Pray with me, and then we're going to jump into a short outline. Father, thank you today for your word. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the Holy Spirit present in our midst today and the powerful worship we've experienced. Now speak to us from your word and challenge us, God, so that when we leave these doors today, will be different. In Jesus' name, amen. My first thought I want to share with you is just a three-point little outline. Pray consistently. Pray consistently. We are to pray for missions locally, nationally, and internationally. We're supposed to do it consistently. Romans, Paul wrote a book called Romans, and it's to the church at Rome. And in the 30th verse of the 15th chapter, it says, I have one request. This is from the Message paraphrase. I have one request, dear friends, pray for me. Pray strenuously with me and for me to God the Father through the power of our Master Jesus, through the love of the Spirit. Pray consistently. Here's Paul is saying, I have one request. Now, Paul made more than one request throughout his ministry. But when he says one request here, it means a primary, foremost, it's paramount, it's important. One request, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. In 2 Thessalonians 3:1, Paul says this to the church at Thessalonica. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word may spread rapidly, the word of the Lord may go about rapidly, and God would be glorified just as it was with you. Here's Paul. Think about Paul. Brilliant man. Educated man. Trained man. Here's a man with degrees more than the thermometer. Here's a man who is on his way to being a leader of leaders in the Jewish nation. He was the number one Christian killer on the planet. Remember, he was hunting them down. And after he got him, he'd drag him back, and then they would punish him. Remember on the road to Damascus? God changed him dramatically with the powerful presence of Jesus, knocked him off of whatever he was riding onto the ground. And who is it that is doing this? And he says, why, Paul, why, Saul, do you persecute me? Jesus just knocked him down, and then he became what? The greatest church planter that's ever lived. The greatest missionary that's ever lived. This is Paul. He's trained, he's educated, he's articulate. Good night. For crying out loud, there's 27 books in the New Testament. I didn't throw any out. Don't put that on the internet. 27 books in the New Testament. 66 total. Easy for me to say. 39, 27, 66. He wrote half the New Testament, for crying out loud. This dude is good. I believe he wrote Hebrews 2, so you can argue you're at 12 or 13 books. Now listen to this. Paul didn't rely on his education, his ability to write or speak, or his articulation, or his pedigree. This is what he said. Pray for me. Pray for me. Because nothing of eternal value will take place unless God the Holy Spirit does it. You understand that? Friends, you and I can help people temporarily, but only God can help them eternally. You and I can't save anybody, but we can point them to Jesus. And Paul says, pray for me that I might carry out the work that God calls me to do. And so today when we ask you to pray consistently, by the way, I'm not just asking you to pray for the missionaries that you know, or Pastor Eric on mission, or Randy on mission, or Georgia Crystal, or Marlene on mission. Yes, pray for them. But I'm asking you to pray for you. Pray for yourself. Pray for your spouse. Pray for the person on the road next to you. Why? It's because we're all missionaries. We're all on mission. Missions is not what we do. Missions is who we are, whether we're here in Colombia or somewhere else in the world. Pray consistently that God would use us to do His work all over the world, starting right here in our own spot. And I want us to stop and pray right now. I in the middle of this service, and I'm going to guide you in how we're going to do this. As we're going to do this, we're going to pray for Pastor Eric and Randy. We're going to pray for Steve and Nikki and the Well Church, and the Ellises, and we're going to pray for the Guatemala team. Before we pray, let me just set it up with some pictures and a little information, all right? Picture number one. You recognize Pastor E right in the middle, his beautiful face, Randy's precious smile. Over here doing the selfie with the glasses, some of you know Buddy Mullins, dear friend of ours. I think it was April and Wes probably introduced me to Buddy and Carrie a long time ago, and then Roger. And then this is a pastor from Georgia whom I've never met. We're going to pray for them. They're doing ministry and missions right now, Albania, Kosovo. Next slide, please. This is Rob Ellis. Some of you may know Rob on the far left. Ah, look at Pastor Lewis. Love him, right dead center. Go, Lewis. And big old Drake. They're in Las Vegas today with Pastor Steve Witt and Nikki. That's, by the way, that's you. That's you. And the Well Church in Vegas is you. You understand that? That's not them. That's us. We're doing missions and ministry in cities and countries around the world. Now, let me tell you, I just talked to Pastor Steve this last week. I think they had 92 in worship a Sunday two ago. 92. They're in Las Vegas. 92 is mega, mega. Isn't that awesome? People are coming to Christ. As Steve normally does, jumps into the schools. So he's a football coach at Basic High School. He's the only coach on the team that's not from Vegas. And he just lovingly wormed his way in. That's what he does. But if you don't love Steve Witt, there's something seriously wrong with you, because he's so easy to love. But he's taken these high school football players, and he's taken them from Basic High School to C.T. Sewell Elementary School, and they're reading to the kids at C.T. Sewell. When Leanne and I went out to visit them in the winter this year, when we went to C.T. Sewell Elementary, when we walked into the offices, the ladies stood up and started just chattering and running up. Steve and John Labonte are like rock stars at that elementary school. I mean, they go, "Oh, Steve, oh, John, oh," they come up. The principal was in another part of the campus. When she came in, she literally hurried over me and hugged my neck, never having met her before. Steve said, "This is my senior pastor from Thompson Station Church. They're the ones that sent us out here." She came over there and hugged my neck, didn't even shake my hand, and she said, "Thank you for sending these guys." Now look at this next picture that the great tech pulled up. I spoke of it in this first service, but I didn't have a picture. Steve and John there are with the principal and some of the office vice principals there. The Well Church, National Center for Urban School Transformation. And look at this right here. America's Best Urban Schools Volunteer Award. The Well Church, get this, got this award this year in May. 7 churches in America got it, and the Well Church. I mean, 7 organizations, not even churches, 7 awards were given for the urban renewal. And that's what you're doing. That's not what they're doing. That's what you're doing. That's what we're doing, because we're in this together. That's the ministry that you are affecting. We're going to pray for them. All right. Next picture. By the way, the Ellises and that team, they're doing backyard Bible clubs and prayer walking and prayer working in the neighborhoods while they're there. This next picture is, you know, Miss Marlene on the left. She's precious. And then on the top left, you recognize Crystal and George with a family in Guatemala. And on the right, some of you may know, recognize the guy on the far right, that's Ricky Swayze. And then Hector in the yellow shirt. Hector was led to Christ by Ricky several years ago. He's in construction. And some of the construction projects there out of Guatemala City with a ministry called Shalom from Shalom Baptist Church. Hector was brought to Christ, and he's a jefe. He's the boss. And he helps some of this construction ministry. And you can talk to George. George will have a table after the service. And David Wood will have a table after the service about the Las Vegas, if you want information about Vegas or Guatemala. Well, last year, George and Crystal and the team built a church and a ministry center in Las Conchas out of Guatemala City. And they're going back this year to dedicate it. Children are coming to Christ. Children are being fed. Children are being blessed. And families are having homes. In the years past, we built homes there, people pulling them right out of the slums. Water filtration's being done. Ministry that you're doing. I'm just reminding you, ladies and gentlemen, you're a part of something that's going worldwide. So with these three, I've showed you the picture of Randy and Eric and the Mullins and the pastor, and then Pastor Steve with the team from Thompson Station Church going there with the Ellises, and then the Guatemala team with Shalom and George and Crystal and Marlene. So here's what we're going to do right now. We're going to pray right now. Here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to ask you, and as soon as I say go, you're going to do it. Okay, do this. All right? I'm going to ask you to just huddle up in groups 3, 4, 5, or 6, turn around and jump with some folks right over here and right over here and right over here and right over here and pray for these three. And I'll remind you, remember Pastor Eric and Randy, Marlene and the Wallers, Pastor Steve, the Well Church, okay, and the Ellis team. They're working today. Okay, yes? Okay, please jump with a group right now. Turn your chair around or just sit over the seat, 3 or 4 or 5. Somebody pray out loud or several somebodies, and somebody just take charge. Here we go. Join a group. Thank you. Thank you. And just start praying. Pray for Eric and Randy. Pray for Steve and Nikki in Vegas. Pray for the Shalom ministry that George and Crystal and Marlene will be in Guatemala. Father, we lift these all over this room praying right now. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you that you're hearing our prayers and you're even answering them as we pray them, and have your heart is leaning toward us as we enter into intercession for these ministry teams. Thank you for the work that you're doing through us, and that you give us the privilege to be your hands, your feet, your mouthpiece to the world. We can walk the gospel out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to let you put your seats right back in order, and we're going to jump back in. Thank you. Thank you for praying concerning missions. Not only do we pray consistently as you just did, we go faithfully. If you have your Bibles, either hard copy or your phone, you might go to the last chapter of Matthew 28. Very familiar scripture. It is the Great Commission. Verse 19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Surely I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Go and make disciples of all nations. Go faithfully. All nations. Now it's great. It's great that Marlene and the Wallers will go to Guatemala. It's great that George and Crystal have that on their heart. And it's great that Pastor Eric and Randy will be in Kosovo. And it's great that Steve and Nikki will go to Vegas. And we think of Vegas, that's Sin City. Let me just ask you a question. Is a person in Las Vegas who's without Christ, are they any more lost than a person who's in Colombia without Christ? No. Without Christ, there's no hope. So missions is not where we go. Missions is what we do. Missions is not where we go. It's what we do. And so all nations, all peoples, from right here to the ends of the earth, right here at Riverside to the ends of the earth. I love Acts 1:8 because it's just so clear. I'm kind of simple, and this is kind of simple. I'm a simple thinker. This is simple. Acts 1:8. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Paul says, I can't do it in my strength. I need the Holy Spirit. Pray for me. And that explains it. And then you'll be my witnesses. You're going to tell others about Christ and His love in where? Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And the reason I love it is it just lays it out. It didn't say you'll be my witnesses either in Jerusalem. But you don't have to do it there. You might do it in Judea, or you'll do it in Samaria, or you'll do it at the ends of the earth. It says you're going to do it all places. So wherever you're going, you're doing it. You're going to be my witnesses. So we're to be His witnesses. Back to that power of seven vision. Just put that slide back up there for me, Mr. Graham. Remember, in our seven relationships, that's our Jerusalem. In our seven, across the top, that's our neighborhoods and relationships. That's our Jerusalem. That's where we live. That's where we work. That's where we play, okay? So that's Jerusalem, Acts 1:8, Jerusalem. Then when you move to Judea and Samaria, that can be the seven cities on the lower left. So that, from Thompson Station, when we came to Columbia, that was an extension into Samaria. And then it's further nationally when we go up to Springboro with the Wagoners, with Reagan and Heather and plant a church there, and out to Vegas in the west. That's our Samaria when we're planting a church with the Witts and the Labontes. And then to the ends of the earth, that's why we do missions in Kosovo, in Guatemala, Nicaragua, in China, Africa, Mexico. To the ends of the earth. We are to go faithfully from the neighborhood to the nations. All of the above. It's not either or, it's both and. It's not either or, it's both and. So ask yourself the question, how am I involved in missions? Because missions is who I am in my own neighborhood and in the nation and in the nations internationally. How am I doing it? Am I going? Am I praying? And then here's a thought. Here's a way we can participate. The last thought I'll share with you today is give generously. Missions needs to be funded. Finances are important. Now concerning the collection, this is 1 Corinthians 16:1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, you should put aside something and store it up, as He may prosper. As the Lord blesses you, you give. so that there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I'll send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. So Paul is directing the churches to make a collection for the saints in Jerusalem who are experiencing poverty and many homelessness due to the severe persecution of the Christians in the city of Jerusalem. They'd lost everything. The Corinthians, as well as a few other churches, helped not only support Paul and his missionary work, but gave to the Christian Jews in Jerusalem so they would have some support themselves and not starve to death. Everything you have, God gives you. I believe it's Deuteronomy 8:28 or 8:18. It's there. It is the Lord who gives you the power to make wealth. Now, if you're brilliant, let me just ask you a question. If you're brilliant, and many of you are, did you make your own brain? No, you didn't. Now, if you're disciplined, you exercise, you learn, you educate yourself, but what you have, God gave you. So if you're skilled with your hands and you got a great trade, or you use your mind, however you work, you make your living as a teacher, you make your living as a computer programmer, whatever, God gave that to you. God gave you the power to make wealth. That's what Deuteronomy says. And so everything we have, God's given to us. When we love something, we don't mind giving to that something or someone. I don't have a problem giving to my kids or my grandkids because I love them. Papa, Papa, I need this. Okay. Well, actually, I can say no easier than my wife. She's a softie. So when we love the Lord and we love people, we don't mind giving to financially to that. Now, it's a sticky situation because sometimes people think, well, if I go to church, all the preacher wants is my money. And that's not true. It's not a money issue anyway, ladies and gentlemen. It's a heart issue. My heart goes to those things that I love. And when my heart goes somewhere, my money follows it. And vice versa. When I put my money into something, my heart starts to learn it. My heart goes where I put God's money. Listen to Matthew 6:19. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. What do you love? So all I'm asking you, all I'm asking of me is for us to think, how can I give and give toward missions and toward ministry around the world? Locally, nationally. By the way, you may or may not know it, that TSC Columbia, TSC Thompson Station, we're a Southern Baptist church, and we're proud of it. And we're part of a larger organization called the Cooperative Program of Southern Baptist Churches. About 40, 45,000 churches participate, and we voluntarily participate in missions. You guys help support through your regular weekly tithes when you give it. You help support nearly 10,000 missionaries, about 9,500 missionaries worldwide. Isn't that awesome? You help support that. That's a great thing. Thank you. It's a great thing. How do we do that? Every dollar that you give that's not designated towards something, if it's undesignated giving, 8 cents goes to the cooperative program to help support missionaries. 8 cents on a dollar. Now, that's voluntary. Some denominations, you got to pay dues per member. We could give nothing or we could give more. Our leadership, our finance and trustees years ago just said 8% is what we're going to give away. Now, that's on top of other monies. We set 2% aside for missions to help pay for students to go on mission trips. So, and then we give special offerings, and you give above. So you're a generous church is what I'm trying to say. You might not even know how generous you are. In years past, we've given over $1 million in 1 year toward mission causes outside of us. You may not even know you're a part of a church that does that. So you do missions well. Matter of fact, you know, you're going to do missions here in just a week or so on June 30, July 1 and 2. You say, well, Tom, that's VBS. That's the best missions you can do locally. Vacation Bible School is missions. You may not think of it that way. We don't just bring them in here to do crafts and games and have snacks to have fun. It's great to have fun, but every day they're going to hear about Jesus. And then on Sunday, we want to culminate by having them here with their families, and they'll hear about Jesus. Vacation Bible School is missions. And by the way, when that bag comes by, when those ladies and those guys pass that bag by and you put money in there, VBS is paid from your money in that bag. That's missions. You're involved in missions. Matter of fact, you give generously to missions, and you do it all the time. Our church was started 28 years ago, or restarted rather, because two churches in Nashville and the Tennessee Baptist Convention decided to pay a 25-year-old guy with no pastor experience and his wife to come. And we started with eight people in a country movie honky-tonk, and missions got us started. Missions, by the way, on one Sunday, the TSC campus took up, I can't even remember, $250,000 to help fund this campus. I don't know if you know that or not, but nobody gave us these screens and stuff like that. Missions funded this campus. We're all about missions. And you're all about generosity. I want to tell you, I want to thank you. You give so generously on this campus. Matter of fact, in May, God blessed so much through the giving at both campuses, and an individual was blessed, and they blessed the church, that we had a surplus. It's not often that we have a lot more money than we have bills, but we had a surplus. And in the month of May, we prayed about it, and this is what we decided. We've been praying. You've been praying, I hope. If you haven't, please join us, me and Pastor Eric, about praying about getting this campus their own facility. It's great to be here. We're thankful for Pastor Principal Reggie letting us be here. And it's great ministry. And even when we get our campus somewhere else, that permanent campus, we're still going to do ministry here. But to have a facility that you use every day would be awesome. Now, because of the surplus, this last May, I'm just talking May, we were able to set aside $50,000 as seed money for a building fund for the Columbia campus. Isn't that awesome that we're starting a fund? So here's what I'm telling you. 50 grand we set aside. And we're putting other surplus monies aside too from last year. We're working on it. We'll give you an update. Rick Smith is on our finance team, and that's Wes's father-in-law if you hadn't met him. But listen here. I'll take, well, not me, but somebody here. I don't ever touch a check. Somebody will take your matching $50,000 check today. So feel free to give that today, okay? And that would give us 100 grand. So because you're giving generously, God's blessing. Now, there's lots of kinds of ways to do missions, lots of kinds of ways to do ministry. And so I want to end with this. Thompson Station cares about people. You care about people. You do work in this school every week. During the school year, you read to kids, you feed kids. Do you know what the weekender backpack is, the weekender pack? Some of you don't. During the school year, Pastor Eric works with some of you volunteers and works with this school leadership. And I think the last I heard it was like 200 and... Does anybody know it's 200 and some odd? Do you know? Okay. It's around 200 backpacks with food in them. And you may not know that a lot of the kids that go here don't come from great homes. And so we want to love on them, and we're not sure what kind of good food. You know, they're getting a free lunch when they come here every day, and they might not have it on Saturday and Sunday. So during the school year, every Friday, they pick up a pack, and it has a meal for Saturday and for Sunday for them to have, and they bring back the backpack, and we do it every week. And guys, we, Thompson Station Church, we pay for that because it's a good thing to do, and we minister. So I want you to know you're all the time being generous. Thank you. And we care for kids. Foster kids, kids that have come from broken homes, kids that have rough spots in their life, rough starts. We're working for the very first time in the state of Tennessee. There's a real partnership between churches and the government. And we're going to be developing at our campus on Thompson Station Road in the second house, formerly known as the Garden House, where the prayer room was. We're going to build a safe house. God's laid it on our heart. And what is a safe room? What is a safe house? It's a place where children, when they're picked up out of their home in the middle of the night, and when they have to scrape together a few clothes and put it in a trash bag, they're being jerked out of their home for whatever reasons. Their parents are having a domestic violence, or there's drugs involved, or some kind of criminal activity, or just some kind of abuse. And the social caseworkers taking them out, Department of Children's Services is taking them out of the home. You know, for years and years, they take those kids and they literally take them back to a sterile office environment, set them down and give them a piece of paper and a notepad to scribble on while they're making calls trying to find somebody. Will you take this kid? Will you take these siblings? Yada, yada. And they're having to sit in that environment. Well, that's not the healthiest, best scenario. In a traumatic experience like that, what can we do to help? God's laid it on the hearts of some of our folks at TSC that we would take a house and provide a warm, friendly, safe environment for a child to come with caring caregivers while the Department of Children's Services worker has an office to make phone calls to find a resource or a foster parent to take that child. And I want to show you this video. We're going to end with this video, and then after the video, I'm going to ask if you'd like to participate in helping partially fund this. And we're doing it at the campus there, and we're going to do it at the campus here. If God lays it on your heart, great. A little or a lot, whatever in between would be appreciated. Watch this video about caring for kids. All right, we're going to start it again. We have technical difficulties.
We have a God-sized dream for Hope Wins 17, and that's to impact families locally through intervention, specifically through foster care. Here are some testimonies for Thompson Station Church members.
I remember seeing the police at my uncle's house, whom we were staying with at the time, as we were being dropped off by the bus. And I remember walking into the house, seeing the police talk with our dad, and then come to us and tell us that we needed to pack up our things really quick. So they gave us one duffel bag between the three of us, and we only had about 20 seconds to pack up everything as fast as we could and say goodbye to our dad before we were being driven away in the back of a police car and then later switched to the social worker's car. I remember the social worker telling us that we were going to be spending two nights at a foster home until our mom could come and get us. And we actually ended up staying one extra night. Being 9, 7, and 5 years old as a child and put in a situation like this is a very terrifying experience.
When I was 3 years old, my twin brother and I were taken from my birth mother by DCS in Atlanta. And I don't remember a lot why we were taken. I just remember going into a room and it was a sterile environment with glass windows everywhere and sitting there and just waiting. But I don't remember a lot of that, but I just knew that I was scared.
The first photos we have of our children, they were 2 months old, 1 year, and 4 years old. And they're just Polaroids that were taken in an office setting, which is kind of a blank wall, and they just look a little disheveled, and hair was a mess, and the youngest was just a baby, so he had been crying, his face was just beet red.
More or less a cubicle atmosphere office, very.
And the first time we met them, they had us meet them at a McDonald's. And it was just kind of this little side of the road McDonald's. And it was just right off the interstate. And so that was the first time we met them.
I remember the youngest being scared and like clenching his fist.
Yeah, they were scared for sure.
I can't help but think what it would have been like if they would have had the opportunity to be in a warm, safe environment instead of an office cubicle, you know, listening to people in the next room or next to them make phone calls asking for resource parents, that's what they call foster parents now, if they were willing to take a sibling group of three.
Given the realities of these stories, what's next? We have a building on our campus that we are going to renovate, remodel, design, and decorate to become a DCS safe room. This house will not only service our counties, but surrounding counties as well. Our church will become that safe place where our certified volunteers will be able to rock babies, play with toddlers, or show teenagers where our video games are. Our God-sized dream is that we will connect people to Jesus, that we will have families waiting for children and not children waiting for foster families. Our goal is to raise $40,000 for the remodel and renovation, to have 75 certified volunteers and 50 volunteers for the hospitality and donation team. With your help, we can make this dream a reality.
When you saw that video, we're not talking about people we don't know. That's us. Eric is one of the key servants around here setting up, and Karen, and then the other two are staff members, and that's their personal experience. And many of you, some of you probably have had experiences similar to that. So you know, we want to totally renovate and have a safe house. You know that the partnership between the state of Tennessee, our present governor and his wife are very interested in caring for kids. The partnership will only be one of two churches in the whole state up front doing this. And so this is new territory, partnering to serve multiple counties in Tennessee with this safe house. And so we're going to text to give right now. And so I'm going to put this screen slide up, this last slide. And there we go. So if this is new to you, if you want to go in your texting, and I'm going to go with you right there. And so if you want to go in, and here's what you do. You just type in that number, 615-378-6006. There it is. I got to put my glasses on. I can't see. And then whatever, now if you've never done this before, it'll send you back a text and it'll give you some information to put in your credit card to put that in. If you've done it before like me, then you'll just put HOPE, because this is HOPE 117 Ministry, and then put the amount. And I did it in the last service and I'll do it again in this service. And off it goes, and as soon as you send it, it should send you back a receipt. There it is. The receipt will say, if you've done it before, thank you. Your gift of, and then there's mine, Thompson Station Church has been completed. If this was an error, respond with the word refund. So if you punched in $1 million, no worry. It'll let you refund it. And now, for those of you who don't have your phone or prefer to give in another method, right after this service in less than 4 or 5 minutes, you can go to the information table and pick up an envelope like this if you'd like to give through a check or cash. Give a dollar, $10, $100, anything in between or above, whatever God lays on your heart. This is just one ministry that God has called us to do, and this is part of our neighborhood local ministries that you're a part of. So it has been a joy today to be with you. I love you. You're doing an amazing job, and so keep praying with Pastor Eric and me and the leadership about the facility that God would have us move into. We don't have a time frame. We don't have a building. There's one that we've been looking at. We're still waiting. There's a local realtor helping us, trying to work out some deals. If you're in that or have ideas, feel free to share it with Pastor Eric, and he and I and whoever needs to, we'll get on that together. Ladies and gentlemen, an amazing, an incredible, beautiful, highly talented pastor of Family Ministries, Andrea Key. Welcome, Andrea. Thank you.
So kind to give me all those. I paid him for it, let's be honest. Okay, so he's been talking about VBS and how to get into the community. So one, VBS is happening next weekend. We're so excited. We have a great number of volunteers, but we can always use more crew leaders. So if you guys haven't signed up yet, you can do that in the back. Also, your kids, sign up your kids. I know you guys, so I know who hasn't signed up yet. Okay, so you're going to get a text from me late. I'm just kidding. But just bring them. I don't care if your cousins are in town or who's in town. Just bring them on Friday. We'll sign them up then. And then the other super fun thing that we're doing is, how many of you guys have done the One Gen Away food giveaway on Saturday mornings? Whoop, whoop. And so we are going to collect food during VBS to give to them to then give away. So there, you know, here we go. And so we are going to collect it in here. There's going to be a guys versus girls competition. No, he's doing that because in the first service, I said girls are going to win, and nobody said anything.
Girls
just hoot. So, right. Okay. So anyways, the girls are going to win. And so, guys, you can try and bring in some food. But so when I called them and let them know that we'd be bringing some food in, they actually said that they were low this month. So they actually do need our food donations. So that also means, you know, you guys got to have my back, because I can't tell them that we're going to be bringing all this food and then we don't. So help me look good. And so it's all partner together. And so we're going to be doing that on Sunday. So whether you're in here or you're actually helping with VBS, we want this to be a church outreach. Go ahead and bring all your food. And then that upcoming Saturday, July 8th, we will all go again together as a church to do that. And it's a super cool ministry because you can bring your kids and do it with you. We're packing food. We're praying over people. It's really simple. Whether you like to talk to people or you don't, there are roles for everybody in this. So if you're one of those people that's like, I don't really talk to people besides like the people I know in my phone book, like this is too far out of my reach, you don't have to do anything that's going to be out of your box. If you're a talker like me and Tom, then we're going to have a great time because we just talk to everybody and eat some food, and it's great. So wherever you lie in that, go ahead and come out. We have river baptisms happening again July 30th, so that is happening. And so that was so much fun last time we did it. So if you have any questions about that or would like to be baptized, you can call the church office or email Melissa, and we will get that set up. And then I forgot the VBS mandatory meeting, which is my own meeting, so it's a good thing I remembered. 4 o'clock today, we're meeting in here to do that. We're going to talk about all the things that's happening with VBS. Yes, and then at 6 p.m., right? Yes. So we're going to canvas Riverside. So if you are free for the night, which I know you guys are because Connect classes aren't meeting. So I'm just kidding. I'm not trying to guilt anyone. But if you guys want to come out and canvas the neighborhood, we're going to do that. We've given flyers away to Boys and Girls Club, to after school programs, so we know the word is out there. So we just want to do that a little bit more. And then we have one more announcement, correct, about the Hope House. Hope House? Is that what we're calling it? Safe Room? Okay.
So you guys may remember back in November on Orphan Sunday, Terry actually came down here and shared our vision about the Safe Room, and now it is becoming a reality. This afternoon at 3 o'clock at the main campus, we're going to have an informational meeting for the different volunteer spots we have available and just more information about when we're going to be breaking ground on this renovation and how you can be involved. So 3 o'clock this afternoon before the VBS meeting, if you know you can finagle that, room A120, and I'll be over here at this black table if you guys have any immediate questions about it.
If you're late to my VBS meeting because you're going to that, I give you a pass. So that's the only reason. So, yeah.
I forgot to say that we have tables with David Wood about our ministry in Vegas with the Whale Church. So see that ministry. And then George Waller is manning the table with Guatemala, and I forgot to share that.
Perfect. Okay, well, thank you guys for being here today. Look at your neighbor and say, are you signed up for VBS yet? Okay, and then go eat some lunch somewhere. Bye, guys. Also, if you're picking up your children, give me 1 second.